Oh, love is here to stay. Not for all year, but ever and a day. Oh, the radio and the telephone movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and then time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we going on a long, long way. In time the rockets may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
It's very clear, our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. Just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh, oh, oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay.
drag it to you. I've not always been the best man, a friend for you, but your love it means true. And I don't know why you always seem to give me another try.
Time.
when life leaves you high and dry, I'll be at your door tonight if you need help. If you need help, I'll shut down the city lights. I'll lie, cheat, I'll beg and bribe to make you well. To make you well. When enemies are at your door, I'll carry you away from war. If you need help, if you need help. Your hope dangling by a string, I'll share in your suffering. To make you well, to make you well. Give me reasons to believe that you would do the same for me. And I would do it for you. You're gone, gone, gone. When you fall like a statue, I'm gonna be there to catch you, put you on your feet, you on your feet. And if your well is empty, not a thing will prevent me. Tell me what you need, what do you need? I surrender honestly. You've always done the same for me, so I will do it for you. You're gone, gone, gone. You're my backbone. You're my cornerstone. You're my crutch when my legs stop moving. You're my head start. You're my rugged heart. You're the pulse that I've always needed. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, my heart never stops beating for you.
Oh, Hi, this is Jerry. Played that song because we're going to talk a little bit about the 144,000 tonight. It's prompted, came out of some different things. I'm looking at Revelation, Rosemary. I made a comment to Rosemary about it, and then I went back, I looked at the scripture, and I've looked at this before, and if I saw what I saw today, I don't remember it. But anyway, I think that'll be a little bit interesting, particularly with the history we have and the messages many people, including not those who are in RCC, have gotten about the 144,000 or being a part of that. Let me see. We have Faith and Rosemary and a guest in chat. We're just joking, going on and on about stilettos last night and in chat last night and on the show just a little bit. And I said that I would donate my hot pink stilettos to Judy because I thought she would appreciate them. And but Faye says somebody named Deborah put up a video on her YouTube. She had a dream about special heavenly shoes, about shoes in heaven today. Anyway, and we have Judy and Tana and Mama Pat on the line, and a few different things we can discuss. Pat sent two different things to me that I think directly relate to what I was led to discuss today. So it's about the 144,000, who they are, and what the Bible says about it, which is interesting, because it actually seems obvious to me now what it's saying, and for some reason we all have this other conception. So we're going to address that. We say hi to everybody. I'm going to open up Judy, but I think she's muted. Hi, Judy. And we'll open up Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hello, I love you all.
Hi, Tana. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, love you.
Hi,
love you,
Judy.
I'm just getting ready for my workout. But
oh, cool, Tana. Well, I'm working out, too.
My little burrito. My little burrito.
Nice. Your burrito is on her bike.
Okay.
I got this new thing at thedogoutdoors.com called a walkie dog. You attach it to your bike, and they can run alongside you when you bike. It's so fun. So that's what I'm doing. As I'm listening to the show, I have my little basket on my bike, and I have it on speakerphone so I can hear the show and listen to all the music while I'm jamming to tunes.
Yep.
Can everybody pray for Sam Chi? Can I put a prayer request out? Mama Pat, she's our prayer warrior.
Yeah.
But Sam Chi, I have to bring her to the vet. I have to drop her off on the way to work, and they said they'll call me. But she's been throwing up a lot, and her eyes, she just, something looks wrong. It feels like her stomach is a little hard. I don't know. It just something doesn't seem right. My sister thinks so, and my son, too. I mean, she's just not herself. And I woke up to barf all over the place, and then when I came home, it was all over the place. So we have a really, really nice vet. So thank God they could see her tomorrow. So we're dropping her off. My neighbor above me, they're cat people. They love their cats, but they just had a $2,000 vet bill. I was like, oh, my gosh. So in Jesus' name, I pray against that. But but their cat had to be in intensive care. I don't know what happened to him. He like got something in his intestines. I don't know what it was. But anyway, we love our pet, and Sam Chi's the prophet kitty. So she's gonna be okay. But you know me, I freak out. So we love you, Lord.
Wow.
And Mama Pat. So you'll pray for Sam Chi.
Yeah.
Me and Mama Pat always pray for each other's sick pets.
Yes, Jesus, you love our pets. You gave them to us as gifts, And we pray to you in confidence. We cover everything with your precious blood and holy wounds, that you will see to it, because we trust you. And you know what we all go through with our pets, and they're your pets before they're our pets, and they're your creation, and you love them more than we could ever, though we love them very much. So we ask you to bring healing to this whole situation, whose ever pets are suffering, because you know how we love them, and you love us, and you love them, and we love you, and we love them, and everybody loves each other. So get everybody well. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a vicious cycle.
Amen.
It's a vicious cycle of love.
Yes, it is.
I feel his peace about it. I'm
yeah.
not at peace with the vet bill, so Lord, protect me from a vet bill.
Yes.
And I understand,
oh,
you know what? Veterinarians, they need to make money. I mean, you know, vets have to make money too. So I understand. But it's just like, it's
a lot.
It's more to bring my pet to the vet than it is to bring my son to the dentist and get a cleaning, you know? It's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know what? This is the way it is. And I believe in vets, so I never complain, you know, but I just,
right.
I don't have with all to pay them right now a ton. So hopefully they said they'll just look at her and observe her when I'm at work, and then they'll call me. And luckily tomorrow I'm off at 1. So it should all be good. But, you know, I've been meaning to, like, get her checked out because she goes through little weird things. Come on, Marty. We got to go. Come on, Marty. So, you know what? This is the perfect time to do it because I've been meaning to. Come on. And since my sister and my son both were like, yeah, she doesn't look. Marty, come here, honey. Come here. So, come here, sweetheart. Good boy. What is going on in Sloppy Dog? Anyway, you guys, there is plenty of bad news to keep you so encouraged. I love it.
Yeah. There's definitely some bad news out there.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's
sorry. I still sound like a frog.
But you know what? If all these things didn't happen, then we wouldn't be near the end, see? So.
Oh, we are.
If things were going hunky-dory, that's why we can celebrate the bad news. Come on, Marty. Anyway, I'm going to mute myself because my dog is done. And,
I hope
I love
Kimmy gets well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We gave it to the Lord, so just trust him, and he'll take care of it, no matter what. Just say, Jesus, I know you're going to take care of this. Thank you for what you're going to do for my kitty. That's what you say to him.
Amen. And I want to thank our pastor for taking such good care of us. He's so good. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your beautiful care over all the details in our life. I'm really blessed. I'm very blessed, and I just love you, Jesus. He's so good. He's so good to us. He's so good.
He is.
And
he is.
I don't want to mute myself until I tell our pastor how much I appreciate all he does for us, and he does a great job at administration too. Administrating his church. He just, you know how churches have to have secretaries and all these administrative people and. Jesus doesn't need all that. He doesn't need anyone to do a web design for his church or anything, you know? He doesn't even need a choir with white robes. I mean, he's pretty efficient at running his place. He doesn't need any assistance. He just needs
has a white robe.
He just needs participants. I can't believe it's 2 years later. Still now.
I know,
and it's because we have such an amazing pastor. If we didn't have an amazing pastor, we wouldn't. Hanging out.
We wouldn't be here. He kept us together. We're too much in love with him to quit. True.
He's supported us and guided us, and he's getting us through. He's getting us through.
He sure has. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. So.
And, I'm reading a little more email from Rosemary. We've been going back and forth. Most recently on the 144,000. Thank you, Judy. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. I think I've stopped in the middle of things. But, okay, here we go. So I think the thing to do is to, well, the history on this, just to review, is so many of us have gotten clues of being comebacks. People are coming back after the rapture to assist in God's work on earth in a supernatural protected form. Other people who are not in our church family here, RCC, that we know of, have gotten also some others, YouTubers and things, have gotten messages about being in the 144,000. And the traditional concept of who the 144,000 are, based on reading of Revelation, is that they are sons of Israel. People always interpret that. And quite frankly, I've looked at that myself more than once and come to the conclusion that others have come to, that, by the letter of what is written, that it infers like the yeshiva boys, young men, that kind of a thing. Today I looked at it and saw it in a completely different light. And I would have to credit a revealing moment, a Holy Spirit moment there, because it's really not complicated. But it does matter which translation you read. So I labeled the show today, and then we'll go into some of the things that Mama Pat sent me, and which have both an informative and not to be in completely humble, a slightly comedic flair on behalf of our Jesus, who's led us as a church and has led us to see things the way we see them. But I'll get to that in a little while. So the history is, and there's been this quandary, well, how could we be part of the 144,000? How could women be part of the 144,000? You know, we're not Jewish and da-da-da-da. Okay, well, let me read, first of all, what I found. I wrote, what we need is a syntax. And I said, wait, syntax, S-Y-N-T-A-X. Yes, we need to check syntax. Yo, you offspring of the sons of Israel, hello there. Just which Israel are they talking about? Question mark. And here's a few comments. And the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, that was the version used in one of the schools my kids have gone to, and which is just silly. But anyway, and the NASB, which is typically used by pastors, are the culprits this time. Revelation 7:4 out of the NASB reads, NASB, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Okay. And in contrast to this, here's the King James, which I usually have more fun teasing, but here I have to tip my hat to KJV because it says, Revelation 7:4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So the phrase at the end of that verse on one hand says, from every tribe of the sons of Israel, and the second one says, of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, the thing is, everybody has used that word sons to mean like young man and so on because it fits the Jewish template. But just what Israel are they speaking of? And it became clear to me today, we're not talking about the nation of Israel. We're talking about the person of Israel. The person of Israel was Jacob. His name was changed by God to Israel. And his sons represent the tribe and the population, the nation of Israel. And if you go and to the KJV, which says of all the tribes of the children of Israel, that begins to give you the clue because the sons represent the tribes. And if the requirement is that the 144,000 are from tribes of Israel, then it could be anyone. It can be a a man, woman, young, old, can be anybody who is sealed at God's choosing to be in that position and to do that work. Further, months ago, we had an intense time of sort of study and leading about the tribes of Israel, the breastplate stones, and there was a very strong commonality in the message. I think Faith, who's in chat tonight, was involved in this. My daughter had a very specific dream about it. I got some specific leadings about it and a few others. And in total, what I came to understand was that this blessing that was sent out through Abraham and Jacob in Israel was dispersed by an intermixing of the tribes into the population of the world. And it was that not only is, for example, what we call the Gentile nations, the peoples that are not specifically Jewish or Hebrew, not only were they blessed in the Second Covenant through the Holy Spirit, but I got the distinct sense that from God's point of view, they were all blessed through the First Covenant as well because of the intermixing of the tribes into the nations of the world. So if we understand that God has dispersed this blessing through all of the nations with the dispersing of the tribes of Israel at different times, then he knows to what tribe we might belong, even if we're not conscious of having a Hebrew or Jewish background. Everyone belongs to a nation, a tribe of people, who are connected through this intermixing of peoples to the Abrahamic and Hebraic covenant blessing from God. So, all a person needs to be one of the 144,000, in addition, of course, to the sealing and the blessing of God, is to exist, because we don't have to be knowingly Jewish to fit this definition. And I went back, I looked up the Greek, and it doesn't say sons. It says the offspring or children of Israel. And if we understand that Israel isn't meant to be the nation of Israel, but that they're meant to be, in fact, people related to the tribes that were formed by the sons of Israel, Jacob, then we understand that any of us could, knowingly or unknowingly, fit that qualification and be eligible to be one of the 144,000. So my final note in the text box was, so why did they teach it this way? Yeah, that's a good question as far as I'm concerned. Why has this been taught this way? Because it's only in the ESV and the NASB that really mentions the son, which is the source of confusion. It doesn't have to be young boys. It can be anybody. So I say, yay, CBs, the comebacks, we are on, and we are on. If you've been led to believe that you're, and Rosemary says, yeah, and Tana had a dream of purple and black relating to the stones on the breastplate. That's right. And actually, there was, I think, more than one dream at the end that related, that connected. So we're definitely experiencing some of these things now. So that's why I played that song at the end there, superhero, because this is our notion of the anointing that will be on the comebacks who have returned after the worldwide rapture. It's a supernatural calling relative to earthly trappings. However, we all yearn for that a little bit, not because it makes us, – because we really want to escape the lack of clarity in this world more than anything, I think. But anyway, so we are doing this now. I'm going to have you read your thing, which also fit, but you also sent me this link to the Breaking Israel News, and there was this, I mean, quite frankly, the Lord, look at how he's validating us in retrospect. So many of the things we've been led to discuss, declare, reveal in months and years past, we now seeing others getting on the bandwagon. This, I found, the language in this article, I found to be incredibly remarkable. Just to go over this, I'm going to read some of this. This is a mystical rabbi informed from heaven. Redemption has begun. Really? Redemption has begun. Well, if you are a believing Christian, you would understand that redemption began at the cross. So I don't argue with what he says. Redemption has begun. And if you are a follower of us and our church family here, we know of at least one person specifically that Judy knew who was translated on the 28th of December, 2013. And poof, nobody's seen him since. So there's a couple of kinds of redemption that are being expressed here. And you heard it here first, obviously not about the cross, but in other respects. Okay, so let me go over a few things here. An Israeli Kabbalist, mystical rabbi, has claimed that he was informed from heaven that the process of redemption has already begun. A recent video released by Bible codes expert Rabbi Miyahu Glazerson includes Bible codes that appear to verify this statement. Glazerson opens the video with a translation of the powerful quote by contemporary Kabbalist, blah, 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 Rabbi Chaim Cohen. According to the news reports in Hebrew Press, Cohen delivered a message in order to awaken the Jewish people to the imminent nature of the redemption. He said, "They told me from heaven that the process of salvation started today." Now, I don't know if he meant literally, you know, on that day, and therefore, I don't know what day he spoke. Let's see. They told me from heaven that the process of salvation started today. You now have the opportunity to board the train of redemption. To board the train. I think he's starting to get the picture. We don't know how long it will take, but dear brothers, you have to know that the process of redemption started, and because of it, the troubles do not stop. In other words, we are in the time of trouble, and it will not end until the process is complete. This is what he's saying. He's trying to say, hey, wake up. This is already going, and we can't be caught behind. Now, I'm going to come back to that link on the Hebrew Press. I'll see if I can find out when that was done. But right now, I'll continue with the article. In explaining the reference to troubles that do not stop, Glazerson connected redemption to birth. He said, before a birth, the labor pains are very, very often come one after the other. These are the troubles that we are going, unfortunately, through now in Israel. Now, we, because of sensibilities, we sometimes say the word unfortunately, but actually it's a tremendous blessing. Imagine that these people who are going through the time of Jacob's trouble, specifically the nation of Israel, are already going through the time of Jacob's trouble. It has already started. And this is a great blessing from God, because that means the resolution of these things is soon, that it will not be prolonged. So while we, for sensibility's sake, sometimes say unfortunately, it's actually a great blessing. As the video continues, Glazerson shows a table in which he found the Hebrew words that mean redemption started. Interestingly, Glazer said this is the only place this particular Bible code appears. Even more interestingly, the place he found it is in the book of Genesis, chapter 49. This is the exact place where Jacob calls his sons together in order to prepare them for what they need to know about the end of days. This is the quote from Genesis 49:1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the end of days. Genesis 49:1. Near the phrase redemption started, Glazison found the date 5775, which is the Hebrew year that corresponds to September 14 to September 2015. The Hebrew year 5775 was a Shemitah sabbatical year, which according to Glazison is a year, quote, destined for redemption. In the same table, Glazison also found the date 5776, which is the current Hebrew year. These Bible codes hint that these 2 years are prime for the arrival of Messiah. Now, I'm not overemphasizing the Bible code research right now. What I am doing is focusing on the message that is being spread through the Israeli media to people who are watching or believers, and following God, I mean. And so let me review that very quickly. The 49th year in the cycle, the seventh year in the Shemitah cycle and the 49th year in the Jubilee cycle in September 2015 at Rosh Hashanah. 10 days later, what is done is, now they have not done this, which is also interesting, other than to note it, but traditionally what is supposed to happen after that 49-year cycle is that 10 days after it's complete, they enter the 50th year, and the 50th year is both the beginning of another 49-year cycle, but it also is the 50th year. There's that 50 again, which our Elijah pattern is made up out of. How about that? Maybe we should count Shemitahs. And Jubilee cycles. Anyway, on the 10th day, which is Yom Kippur, the Jubilee is declared, and the Jubilee is the returning of all lands to the all people to the lands of their forefathers. The property is returned to the owning families. Any property that's been sold outside of the family, anybody that's gone into servitude or debt, those things are all canceled. Declaration of the Jubilee year, which occurred in September. And should have occurred officially, even, you know, but they remember the Israeli government is not a religious government. It is by name, it's a secular government. So there was no official Jubilee, and people who had debt before the Jubilee would have been declared still have debt today. So anyway, that is what he's alluding to, describing the end of the Shemitah, which is the end of a count of 7 years, as well as the beginning of Jubilee year. Jubilee year is the propitious time for redemption, the arrival of Messiah, and the returning of all things, including the prophesied return of all the people of the nation of Israel to Israel at a certain period of time. And then it continues. Immediately after highlighting the promising dates, Glazison points to the Bible code for Teshuvah, which is repentance. So notice there the Hebrew word for Jesus is Yeshua, and the Jesus word for repentance is Teshuvah or Teshuvah, in which is very similar words, which is necessary condition for being ready to greet the Messiah. And this is the traditional Jewish approach. They believe that they have to get their people to, in one group, repent all at once. And if everybody repents, then the Messiah will return. There are other Bible codes. The Hebrew story on which this video is based was published in August 2014, just before the beginning of the Shemitah year. Asked by Breaking Israel News why he looked for related codes over a year later, Glazerson said that he's currently working on and has found many tables, quote, in which the dates 5775 and 5776 come together, Jewish years of last year and this year. So I realized that his words are true. Okay. Yes. Well, I'm going to click on this link here, which I had not yet done. See if I can find when this article originated.
And while you're clicking on the link, just let me tell you about my, remember my dream I had the royal blue, everybody in
right.
royal blue, the color royal blue, in addition to the purple and black and gold.
Oh, right. Yep. Okay. So go. Do you want to say more than that, or?
No, you were just discussing stones earlier,
yeah.
so
right.
I had the royal
yeah.
blue color as well.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Let me see here. I'm having to translate. This is an article that I clicked onto. It's in Hebrew, so let me look for something, see if I can discern.
Okay, I was going to say, like, it was, we were in royal blue dresses, and the guys were in white shirts and royal blue ties. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That actually reminds me of something not entirely related, but that's, yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to, there it is. Nope, 18 confidence, the wrong part. Try this. This was August 11th, I think, that this article was originally published. So we'll see. I think I've got it. Yep, August 11th. So that article goes all the way back to August 11th. So this was a warning just before the beginning of the previous year, going into the Shemitah cycle. And so what's prompted this, it's this video, actually, by Rabbi Gelazerson, which has prompted this particular article. However, I find it interesting, the verbiage used by the other rabbi in making his pronounce it, mentioning a train that salvation has started and so on and so forth. So they are coming to the party, but note, I want to make a particular note that in our experience, what happened here was I was going back and forth, and just before I scheduled the show, about 6, let me check this. I was working on scheduling the show, looking up the scriptures, and discerning what I could about it. And then I scheduled the show, and then I went and checked my email. It was after I checked my email that I found this link, which speaks of basically the tribes of Israel, Jacob, and that redemption has started already. And, of course, if redemption has started from a Jewish time of Jacob's trouble, if we're in the time of Jacob's trouble, it's entirely feasible that the 144,000 could be doing their work at this very moment, regardless of whether we expect to come back after the rapture. So there's a strong message there. Now, Pat also sent me a link or a segment of something else I think she wanted to read. Oh, I better open her up. And that also had a very similar ring to it. I felt like everything related. So I don't know, Pat, do you want to go ahead and read that? Or?
Yeah, sure. I just want to warn you, when I get to the second paragraph, there are four words in Hebrew, and I know I'm going to massacre the language, and Jesus is probably going to be rolling on the floor laughing with the duct tape in hand. So, but I'll try to get the words right. But correct me,
okay.
You know, dummy do reading the thing here with Hebrew.
I'll pull it up and see what I can do. Yeah.
Yes, it's the second.
Okay.
It's M-E-N-E. T-K-E-L-U-P-H-A-R-S-I-N, and I know I'm going to massacre it. I have no idea how to pronounce it. Okay?
Oh,
did
yeah,
you
that,
see it?
I see it. That's from the handwriting on the wall, and that was Belshazzar. And this is what Daniel told Belshazzar was written on the wall. Mene, tekel ufarsin. And it is the message to Belshazzar. It's Ufarsin.
Okay, because I forget it. Okay, I'm gonna start from the beginning then. Okay, this is a very strong message. Who's ever listening out there? I know I sent it to you guys, but somebody out there listening just might pay attention to this, because It sure sounds like he's on his way, and hallelujah. Okay, here we go, guys. Now, this is from Julie Webley, and this is from February 2nd, of course, this year. So it's called A Fevered Pitch Rises in the Unseen as the Season of My Return is Granted to This Generation. Love it, Lord. Okay, here we go. I'm not in that case. Daughter of the Most High God, I speak to you this day. Let this proclamation go forth, my words, most holy. I speak to you of this great calling. Now, this is not calling, this is C-U-L-L-I-N-G, which is upon you. In order that I have a pure and undefiled church, I must purge the body of all wickedness and unrighteousness. I must execute punishment where it is due, and I must uncover and expose the nakedness and the shame of all who have beguiled will be brought to the light. Nothing escapes the great I am, with an exclamation point. I see all the deeds done in the darkness. I perceive the heart of every man. I test and I try. And for many this church has been found wanting. I say to you, O harlot church, mene, mene, tikel, what is it, a parson? Your hands are covered in blood.
Yeah,
okay. Your hands are covered in blood, and the blood is not my righteous blood, but it is the blood of the innocent that you have shed. It is the iniquities therein you wallow in, the filth of an unholy life. Therefore, I will sever you from my choice ones. I will call, C-U-L-L, you from among those who have heeded my commands and from those whom I have covered under my mantle. As my warnings of repentance have fallen on deaf ears and your hearts have waxed cold, so too will my ears become deaf to your cries as my hand of judgment now strikes down all those whose feet are treading the wide path and hellish ways to destruction. You have chosen your gods, and to these I will release you. You shall reap the terrors you have sown tenfold. There will be great wailing and gnashing of teeth, as the false walls of spirituality will now come crashing down. My Jericho army has arisen, and with one voice and as one spirit, we will bring the walls down. Hear me as I utter my voice, as the lion of, it's Judah or Judea, roars. I have distinctly separated those who have given me their all, as the wheat has been separated from the chaff. A winnowing has taken place as my refiner's fire has prepared a people who now stand in the fullness of my glory and who do walk under my full anointing and authority as they ground my kingdom mandates and principles for all the world to see. I will manifest in awesome ways that cannot be explained by the finite minds of your science and of your technology. I will be known in this place. So, to the wicked and sinful church, I say woe to you, for you will be held more accountable than those who have never known me for your greed and your lust, for your adulteries and your deceptions. Great will be your demise, for I will make a show of it, an example, a spectacle of you to the unsaved ones. To you, judgment will be swift, and it will be terrible indeed. You will have great remorse for living a life of vanity. To my shining ones, my betrothed, prepare your hearts to see your king and your bridegroom, for the hour is indeed late. Truly I come, fervently pray to be cleansed and perpetually bathed in my anointing. A moment by moment, mikvah, seeking me with all your heart, watching, waiting, interceding, keeping your oil lamps filled to overflowing, by staying in my word, and by daily and constant communion and fellowshipping with me. Your hour is come, for I will gather this great work I have begun in you, as you gather the last harvest of all the ages. A fevered pitch of excitement and anticipation is arisen in the unseen, as all that has been foretold in history comes to pass. It is you, this generation, who is the envy. Oh, Jerry, can you read this last paragraph? Because I just cry when I read it. Can you read the last one? I can't read this without crying. Hello?
Sorry, I'm here. I was speaking.
Yeah.
I muted myself for a second because I was
Can you just read
checking
the last...
the,
Yeah, the last paragraph, because I cry every time I read. I can't read it.
Okay.
It is you, this generation. Go ahead.
It is you. It is you, this generation, who is the envy of all who have gone before you. It was each one's heart desire to not taste death and to rise to glory in the last day. They knew not the season of this great and glorious event, but you, my bride, will surely know it. To you, this season is of my return. This season of my return is granted. I call upon you to fully step in to your positions now. Listen for my counsel, for I surely speak it to my bride. Where I lead, follow me, no hesitations, no turning back. You will neither be moved nor shaken at all that will befall this earth. Hold fast, for I will shake, I will purge, and I will scatter. My peace that surpasses all understanding dwells within your spirit. My love overcomes all, Yeshua. Yahushua is how she signs.
Right. Thank you.
I was following up on the pronunciation of those things. To be more particular, that phrase is mene mene tekal, and it's Farsin, except that it's actually that word. This phrase is repeated in Scripture. In one place, it's peres, P-E-R-E-S, or peres. And then in the other place in Scripture, it is this upharsin, and they're treated in the concordance as the same, but they're not. Anyway, and the other thing you mentioned, Pat, is mikvah. And a mikvah is a ritually cleansing bath. It is the bath that had constantly flowing water. You would dip yourself in it, and it was the ritual prescribed cleansing for people who had body issues. And so that's what the mikvah is the cleansing bath of Leviticus, if you will.
Purification,
yeah. Either
okay,
way.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good message.
So anyway, all of these messages sort of just all came at the same time, and I definitely got the sense that they certainly all relate. Faith is mentioning and speaking of the tribes. I haven't pieced it all together yet, and all the tribes play a role, but somehow Joseph, Benjamin, and Ephraim are significant. There is something about that hidden silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and of course that's a good point. And Rosemary says, I've heard that whole story points to Jesus, prophetic. Absolutely, Joseph is a type of Christ. There's no doubt. That's definitely true. And likewise, Pharaoh, ironically, represents God. In the story. So and then Rosemary says, when in Israel I heard about many secret Christians among the Jews. Some people think Netanyahu is a secret Christian. Yeah, he's almost not secret based on the information that he's sent out. Let's see. Song. Okay, so, Rosemary poofed off. Hopefully she'll come back.
Oh, dear, Rosemary, where are you?
She just
we need
moment,
you, Rosemary.
she made a post and she had a, yeah, and she just lost her connection or something. And we've talked about the Joseph thing some, and I was able to follow it to a certain point. With respect to the breastplates and all that, the stones on the breastplates, I felt like, that's really inconvenient. Email's booting me up. But anyway, all these things were coming at once, and I was very surprised to see that it was easy to discern, looking at the scriptures today, that there's really no question at all about what was being inferred there. The whole distraction about the sons of Israel is the sons of Israel were the sons of Jacob. Jacob, who was Israel, not the nations of Israel. So they don't have to be men and not yeshiva boys or anything like that. They're the 144,000 who are sealed by God according to his will, and they can be, based on our understanding, they can be basically anybody. I've known people who had family histories that, including a portion of Jewish background, and then it was sort of like not talked about, but it was found out later. And I think there's, honestly, I believe there's a lot of Christians who, if they trace their family history, would find out that their background is overtly Jewish. But don't forget, we are, sort of the second generation, first or second generation, maybe the third generation, to come out of the Holocaust era. And, being Jewish, made you a target. Basically, it's made you a target frequently through history. So the idea, for example, after World War II, or any other conflict in the past, that people of Jewish heritage would have melded into the culture and moved on, particularly if at some point they became Christian in their leading. And there's no reason to maintain the religious pretense of Judaism if you are a believing Christian in Jesus. So I think there's a lot of people out there who you don't have to go back but two or three generations to understand that there's some kind of a link to a Jewish heritage. But a lot of that was, I think, obscured in the time of the Holocaust and afterwards because don't forget, a lot of Jews have German background. And after World War II, it was a little bit sketchy to have German background as well as Jewish background. So there was a lot of motivation for people to sort of not emphasize that in their more recent past. And also remember, people were very particular about how they cared about how their reputation, their family was looked at in their society, in their towns, and whatever, because it's in the same manner that people, didn't discuss, mental health issues in the family or anything that could be seen as untoward in that time would have been suppressed and not discussed much, even within the members of the family. So there's a ton of people out there, to use a specific measuring term, there's a whole lot of people out there who you wouldn't have to go back more than a generation or two to see that there's a distinct Jewish portion of their heritage. And so those people, would have no trouble discerning, if they wished that was the case. So, there's a huge dispersal. God's dispersal of the Hebrew nations has served his purpose. And there's a very strong line of thinking that a significant group of Jewish people must have made their way to North America at some point, because the Cherokee, I'm pretty sure it's the Cherokee tribe of people, in their heritage, have a whole slew of Hebraic-like symbols and traditions in their tribal culture that could only have come through Judaism because, most likely would have come through Judaism. But this would have been an intermixing of the peoples long before any settling of the United States. So this would have been something that happened much, much earlier, with no pretense of settling, making settlements and taking land or anything like that. They came over by some means, integrated into, among others, the Cherokee Nation. Yeah. And so and that is that there's even by the way archaeology that backs that up. It's not just their culture. I mean, there's actually there are sites that have that are known to be Cherokee areas that have you know, there's actually carvings and rock carvings and stuff that date to pre-settlement times. You know, ancient places. Anyway, so this has been it's just the world, you know, the world that we're taught that it was by people who claimed that they knew all the answers. We're finding out that the people who knew all the answers knew very few of the answers. And whether it's biblically, scientifically, culturally, the stories that were painted for us in our textbooks were gross oversimplifications of reality. And in some cases, reality was simpler, just hidden by the arrogance of people who didn't know any better or did. This is interesting. Oh, wow, this is interesting. Faith just put this, slowly and carefully read James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So this is a letter from James, who's literally writing. Now, that is really interesting because James, brother of John, both of them called the sons of thunder by Jesus. And so he's writing a letter to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Yeah, that's a really good one, Faith. That's really good. So absolutely. And this was in the first century, okay? The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And one of the things that we ran across when we were going through the breastplate, there's actually scripture that indicates that God, there was a time when God only recognized two of the tribes' presence in the land of Israel, or Judah and Israel. Only two of the 12 tribes did he recognize as even being present there. And this was part of this linked up to Jesus calling Jews who are not, but say they are Jews and they're not. Anyway. You get the idea. But so, yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, these things are coming out. They're being connected. There we go. Sorry.
Amen.
Little window, computer window variability here. So that is. I'm making a little headway, reconfirming, reacquainting myself with some of the things that we found in Revelation. Probably it is more prudent if I don't, it'd be less confusing if I don't say anything now so that I can say it in more complete context. But yeah, I guess I shouldn't do that yet. That's pretty much what I have there. Does anybody else have anything they want to share right now?
No. I'm good.
Tana, Judy, Marty. Okay, so I'm going to play a song. We'll see if anything comes to me, and we'll kind of we'll go from there. Hope I can find it. There it is. Okay, be back in a minute.
I believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of His blood.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
So we're about done with our live time here. We've only got about a minute left. I think I don't really have anything else. I will say this. I was just looked up. I was having more of the 222 thing going today. And I just looked up Strong's H, Hebrew 2222, and it's a word that's used only once. It's used in Psalm 76, and it is the word soak, which isn't, it's sometimes it's just it's the phrase to soak the earth, and I think it's in verse, I'm not sure which one it's in right now, but anyway, it's in Psalm 76. I'm reading through Psalm 76, and it's a psalm about the millennial kingdom, which was just, anyway. We're all right there. It's coming up. I noticed, Pat, I was just reading an email that Pat sent me with a word that was mentioning the millennial kingdom. And then I just, I'll go look up that 2222 in the Hebrew Strong's, and that's what it came up to. So synchronicity continues.
Holy Spirit.
Yep. He is showing off as he ought to. And will continue to do. And one little news note, I noticed a headline today that the majority of members in both parties, and one actually, there's somebody who sent me officially acknowledging, yes, the party primary system is rigged.
Really?
And
Shockers. Shockers. Who's of the century?
And so the world is coming along. All these things. One of the reasons that some of the things we experience don't get much opposition is because they don't want to have a conversation about it, and because things come out through the cracks when you do. And so it's an amazing thing, and so we'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to play one last song, and we're going to be out of here. See you in the air.
Love you all.
Tomorrow's the eve of February 5th, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yay.
There we go.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
OTA.
Love you all. Thank you. We'll see you in the air.
Yep. Amen.
I'm a hoping.
Okay, love you all.
Yep. Good night.
I'm a jumping.
There you go. Yeah.
Sits on.